In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thank you so much for joining us. And happy Friday, Kelly.
Happy Friday.
Brian is not with us this week. We miss him dearly. Best wishes wherever you are.
You're dead to us.
Let's meet the crew. I'm Rolina. I cover tech. And my favorite doctor is David Tennant, although I only say that because he's in Jessica Jones and he's Scrooge McDuck. I need to watch a lot more Doctor Who. I'm sorry, guys.
I'm Kelly Lawler, a TV critic, and my favorite doctor is Matt Smith.
If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. If you happen to be on Apple Podcasts, wouldn't it be lovely if you could write a quick review about the show? By doing that, not only will you help other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us, as a special bonus, we will give you a shout out on our next episode. You'll be famous, I guarantee it.
Super
Try
famous.
It out. Yes. Tell us what you want to see from the show moving forward. It's all upside for you. And don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod. You can email us too at mothershippod@usatoday.com. This week, we're going on an adventure in time and space. Here's a clip.
I'm the doctor. When people need help, I never refuse. What do we do?
Why are you asking her?
Because she's in charge, bro.
Says who?
Says us.
Let's get a shift on.
Legend is Exodus.
Sometimes I see things need fixing. Do what I can.
That was from the trailer for the new season of Doctor Who, the British sci-fi series that has been on the air for 55 years. Take that, SNL, is returning on Sunday with one rather big change in the formula. The new Doctor is a woman, played by British actress Jodie Whittaker. Kelly, let's take it from the top. How did we get to this point? Finally,
I'm so excited. For those of you listening who have never seen Doctor Who, stop listening, go to Amazon where it is currently streaming and start watching Doctor Who and then come back and listen. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, it's only 55 years. You got time.
I'm not kidding, but I'm kidding. You know what I mean? So here's the gist. The Doctor is a 2,000-year-old alien known as a Time Lord. And he, and now she, travels through time and space in the TARDIS, which looks like a blue British police box, kind of like a phone box. The Doctor usually picks up a companion or two or four, sometimes human, sometimes alien, and they all travel together and see cool things and save people and have adventures, and it's awesome. And they go to the future, they go to the past, they stay in the present, they go to Earth, they go to planets. It's really cool. I'm a big fan. I don't know if you guys noticed.
Just a little bit.
So one of the reasons the show has been on the air since 1963 is that they came up with this handy little gimmick. When the show's original star, William Hartnell, had to leave for health reasons, they had the Doctor die, except instead of actually dying, he regenerated, is the term that they came up with. There's a big flash of light, and he became a different man, this time played by Patrick Troughton, who was the second Doctor. And they've done that over and over and over again over the years, and the Doctor's been played by 12 different actors. Technically 13, but like we don't need to get into that right now. It's like a whole thing. But they were all white men. And the most recent actor to play him was Peter Capaldi, who in the 2018 Christmas special regenerated into Jodie Whittaker, the 13th Doctor.
It's a pretty big deal in the Hooniverse. And here to talk about it with us is Jill Pantozzi, the deputy editor for IO9 at Gizmodo and a Doctor Who expert. Jill, welcome. And thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So let's start with the milestone that Doctor Who has achieved with this season. How big a deal is it that there will be a woman playing Doctor Who?
Oh my God. I can't overestimate it enough. It's so huge. You know, it's galaxy spanning huge. It's something that many of us felt would never happen. You know, this series has been around over 50 years And with all the progress made everywhere else in entertainment, it felt like Doctor Who was almost the last TARDIS to get on it, you know?
So, Kelly, you are our resident Doctor Who fan. How did you react when you saw the trailer and it confirmed that we finally would get a woman to play Doctor Who?
I mean, I cried. I've cried at every little thing that we've seen so far since they announced her over a year ago at my desk in the office in broad daylight. It's great. No, I mean, I agree with everything that Jill said. I think especially since Stephen Moffat, who is the former producer of Doctor Who, spoke so strongly against this. And because the series, while it's always changing and moving and for a long time was a big kind of progressive kind of thing, is also in many ways kind of set in its ways and patterns. And so I really did not think that it was ever going to happen again. It's pretty big. There's never been a hero that I've loved more than the Doctor. So it's a really big deal for me personally. And I think for a lot of other people.
So for a series that's been on this long, I think the first question that popped up, and Jill, if you want to answer this, why do you think it took this long? I mean, we've had so many Doctors and it's been on for so long. Like, why did it take this long to finally get the first woman to play Doctor Who?
Is it too short of an answer to just say the patriarchy?
Yeah, I mean, if that's what it is, then that's what it is. So it's fine by me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is how our world operates, unfortunately. You know, it's been a man's world for so long, and that just translates into Hollywood and on screen. And it's really hard. It's been an evolution, you know, to get here. And so to make a big change like that is just difficult. From the perspective of the creators is one thing, but then they have to factor in, you know, oh, is the public going to accept something like this? Something so distinctive of a change to this franchise that's been around so long and that people are so familiar with. They're familiar with this character. There's all these factors that go into making a decision like that. It's not, you know, some of us would like to say, oh, it's easy, just do it, you know, and yes, you can just do it. But if you don't factor in all these other things that have made you money over the last 50 years, that's something that they have to consider, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think Doctor Who is such an institution, you know, especially in the UK. I mean, in the US, it's gained in quite a bit of popularity. But in the UK, it's fundamental as Star Wars is over here. And you can't just point to one person and say that, like, sort of they get to make the decision. There's no George R. R. Martin who created Doctor Who and who guides the universe. Doctor Who was created by many different committees over decades. So even though Chris Chibnall, who's going to be the new showrunner, who wanted a female Doctor Who when he signed on, it wasn't just his call, despite the fact that he was coming to be the creative head. You know, there's the BBC and bureaucracy, and, you know, they had to think about how the public was going to react. I actually saw an interview with him where he said that they specifically announced it over a year ago to, like, give people time to get used to it before they actually had to air any episodes.
So we have the new female Doctor Who is Jodie Whittaker. Jill, what do you think of the casting? Do you think they nailed it?
I love Jodie. My first experience with her was on the drama Broadchurch, which starred, of course, another doctor, David Tennant, and she just put in a phenomenal performance there. But after that, I actually saw her in a sci-fi movie that people had been recommending to me for years, Attack the Block, which stars Star Wars' John Boyega as well, in an earlier role for him. And she was fantastic in that, too. And there was a lot of running around and aliens and that sort of thing. So I think she's going to do a great job.
Kelly, what do you think?
Yeah, I actually have only seen her in exactly the two things that Jill named, both of which I very much enjoyed and both of which I thought she did very well in. The trailers are amazing and I haven't really seen her yet. And so I can't wait to, like, meet that version of the Doctor. There's always, like, a settling in period. And honestly, for, like, some, like, for Peter Capaldi, it took an entire season for him to kind of figure out where he was going with the character. So, you know, I really want to see what she does with it.
So each Doctor along, we have a new actor, actress playing the Doctor. There's also the costume that the new Doctor wears. What do you think of this new outfit? Kelly, we'll start with you.
I like it from the waist up.
Okay.
I hate the culottes. To me, I mean, I don't know who designed it, But to me, it seems like it was designed by a man. Like, it's just not practical for, like, running around or, like, being cold. It looks very cool. Like, I get that it looks weird and different, and it's both feminine and a little bit androgynous. I think that is where they were focusing their efforts. But I just... Can you imagine the, like, the doctor, something called a culotte? It just doesn't seem to go.
Seems like a weird choice of wardrobe.
Weird choice for me, yeah. But I know some other people don't care.
Jill, what did you think?
I'm going to disagree with Kelly. I actually love the culottes. I think they're very fun and different. You know, it's sort of a fashion choice that we don't see a lot. So I like it. I like that it's different. And what I also like and appreciate is that it feels like it harkens back to a lot of the past doctors' looks, you know, with different things, the suspenders, the colors, and this sort of thing. And I really love the trench coat, not only because the doctors always kind of have a blazer or a coat, but it also gives off sort of a cape feel, which makes me feel like, you know, she's a superhero, which technically the doctor is.
So we haven't seen any of the new episodes of the new season yet, but they're going to have a new showrunner this year. What are you expecting from this new showrunner that's taking over for Doctor Who, Kelly?
Yeah, so his name is Chris Chibnall, like I said earlier, and he actually did Broadchurch, which is where he met Jodie Whittaker. You see all this how all this happens. And he has written a few episodes of Doctor Who. Some of the more notable ones include 42 from season 3, which is the one where the Doctor and Martha are trapped on a spaceship that's about to crash into a sun in 42 minutes. It's like the only real-time episode they've ever done. And then also season 5's two-parter, The Hungry Earth and Cold Blood, where we meet the Silurians for the first time, with Amy and Rory as the companions and Matt Smith as the Doctor. So, you know, looking at his old stuff, which is really all I got, I feel like he does a lot of action and a lot of horror. Both of those episodes relied a lot on horror. Like, there's a scene where Amy gets, like, dragged beneath the earth in 42. There's this evil sun kind of thing. There's this evil sun that's possessing people, and then they get chased around the spaceship. So I feel like it's going to be a little more action-adventure-y under him, as opposed to the complicated mythology and over-emoting stuff that we got from Moffat. Which is not to say that Chibnall can't do emotion, because Broadchurch is very emotional.
So, Jill, what do you think? What are you expecting from this new showrunner?
I guess the biggest thing that I'm expecting is the best fresh start that we've had since the show was revitalized in 2005, you know, because Stephen Moffat had had such a strong vision for where he wanted all of his stories to go. There wasn't really any room for anyone else to get too creative, I think, especially in the last several seasons. And I think even though the Doctor has this huge past of his life and now her life, I'm looking for them to look forward and really do a different kind of adventure series where you're not always beholden to the past, you know, like as much as fans have been with the show since the beginning, there's always new fans coming into it at the start of a new season, and having to be beholden to all these canon items can be very daunting, you know, for new fans. So I'm really hoping that they just make it extremely digestible for new fans to get into the show.
So obviously the biggest news being, you know, Jodie Whittaker being the first female Doctor Who, there's a lot to be excited about. Are there any things that you're worried about or concerned about with this season, Jill, that jump out?
Oh boy. Well, you know, I enjoyed Broadchurch quite a bit, and I think Chris Chibnall will do a good job. But I do almost wish that they had also gone with a woman to showrun as well, to really give it a fresh voice on the whole. Because as great as some guys can be writing female characters and, you know, spearheading these stories, I think there's always going to be a little something missing there. And so I'm hoping that it just doesn't. Oh, I don't know. You know, everyone's been making jokes for a year, you know, like we said, and since we found this out about a woman driving the TARDIS and crashing it and all that kind of stuff, which I'm furious about because it's idiotic, you know, and it's just like the Doctor's never been able to drive the TARDIS. What are you talking about? So I'm hoping we don't get a lot of oh, look, it's a woman. It's a woman. It's a woman kind of stuff, you know, like it's the Doctor. Move on.
Yeah. Kelly, what about you? What are you worried about?
I think they need to address tastefully the fact that the Doctor is a woman now. Like, you don't want to go in and just completely ignore it, because A, I don't think the Doctor regenerating into a new gender for the first time in 2000 years would just ignore it. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense from a storytelling standpoint, and thought it would be tough for the audience. But then at the same time, it can't just be like gender jokes for like the whole season. Like that.
Yeah,
can't,
like the
that
driving
can't be
joke
it.
Seems really stupid. Yeah, yeah, like stuff like that.
But I do think like there was this little tidbit in the trailer that actually made me that I felt like was the right idea, which is when someone, I think he's like off screen, is like, who said she's in charge? You know what I mean? And then the new companions are like, we did, that kind of thing. Like being her being underestimated and is definitely something that feels very natural and would be a really great way to address that. And although I agree in a lot of ways with Jill that it would have been great to have a female showrunner, I honestly think that might have been a tougher sell for various reasons. Mm-hmm. Hollywood moves in a lot of really tough ways. You know, Rey is the lead of Star Wars now, but we haven't had a female director. But there are more women writers and directors this season than there have been in years.
Yes, true, which is very good.
So that was a huge deal for me. So that makes me feel a lot better about it. And hearing Chris Chibnall talk about her also made me feel better. You know, hearing, for instance, Colin Trevorrow talk about the high heel gate in Jurassic World did not make me feel better about it. Wonder why. So I'm hopeful.
You know, the both of you have watched a lot of Doctor Who, and you are both experts in this series. So we're going to go over some of like your favorite stuff from the series. Before we jump in, real quick, Jill, how many seasons have you logged watching Doctor Who?
Fully all of Modern Who, and then sparse stuff of the Classic Who.
Okay, Kelly.
I've seen all of Modern Who. I've seen all of the available episodes of the first, second, third, and fourth Doctors. And I've seen the TV movie of the Eighth Doctor.
Oh, yeah. I love him. I actually did a gender bent cosplay of Doctor once.
Oh, nice.
So there's a lot of Who knowledge on this podcast right now. It's pretty amazing. Let's start with favorite Doctor, Kelly. Who's your favorite?
Matt Smith. He is the 11th Doctor. And I like him because he always was very alien. He came off of David Tennant, who was a heartthrob and who was like the most popular Doctor since Tom Baker, who's the 4th Doctor. And David Tennant was very human in how he presented himself and very emotional. He had this thing where he was like, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And I really liked David Tennant, but by the end of his tenure, I was very done with him. And Matt Smith came in and he was all gangly and like, you know, didn't know how to like shake hands properly, or like he kisses people on the cheeks weird. And he just, I mean, he's a good looking guy, but he's got a weird face. Like, let's be real. His very interesting pointy features that made him look a little less human. And I loved it. I liked how weird he was. And I liked it a little less in his later seasons when he started to get kind of angry. And I hated the way that he signed off. I hate that episode so, so much. But early 5th season, Matt Smith is like the pinnacle of Doctor Who for me.
Jill, favorite Doctor?
David Tennant.
I don't hate Doctor. David Tennant. I just hate. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. No, it was one of those things where I really, really enjoyed what Christopher Eccleston did when they restarted the show, and was very into him and would have loved another season of him. And then he regenerated into David Tennant. And I was hesitant at first. That's Doctor Who, right? You know, everybody is a little worried at first when the new Doctor comes in. And then I totally just fell in love with his performance and loved everything about his whole storyline.
Okay, favorite companion, Kelly.
Miss Donna Noble is my favorite companion. I love that she is in no way, shape, or form a love interest for the Doctor at all. I love that she's older. She was probably in her 40s during this time. I love that she calls him on his bull and, you know, is able to ground him instead of always being enamored with him and all the things he can do. And she's really funny. Catherine Tate is a comedian. She's hilarious. And she and David Tennant had the most amazing chemistry as friends. And that's even harder to get than romantic chemistry, honestly. And I also really wanted her to stay longer, but that is not where the show was going at the time.
So Jill, who was your favorite companion?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I agree with everything that Kelly said. Catherine Tate was amazing in that role. And I also wish she had stuck around longer. It's actually a pretty close race for me, but Rose for me.
That's fair.
Okay. Favorite episode. There are a lot to choose from. If you had to pick one or two.
As cliched as it is, my favorite episode is The Girl in the Fireplace, which is actually a David Tennant and Rose episode from season two. The historical episodes have always been my favorite. History is my jam. I especially like European and royal history. And this episode was actually written by Stephen Moffat, and I don't love very much that he did eventually. But when he was just a writer instead of the showrunner, he was actually a lot better and more self-contained. And he kind of got the idea for what he later did with Amy of like having the doctor be a big part of someone's life by checking in and like sort of taking the short path, as they call it in the episode. But then that person has only been in the doctor's life for a very short amount of time. And so that was really interesting to me. I also thought the monsters in that episode, there are these clockwork robots, were terrifying.
They're so great.
They wear these French masquerade masks and they tick and they have claws for hands. Oh God, they're so great. So that's my favorite. 11th Hour, which is the first episode that Matt Smith is in, is a close second.
So Jill, of all the episodes of Doctor Who you have watched, what is your favorite one?
I think I would have to go with Turn Left.
Oh, that's such a good one. That's probably my number three.
Season four. And it is technically a David Tennant episode, but it's one of those Dr. Light episodes where he doesn't actually play a big role. And it's actually Donna who is the focus of the episode, where basically an alien creature has interfered with her life and made her make one decision at one point in her life that meant she never met the doctor, which meant the doctor dies. And then everything that he had avoided for Earth, all this destruction and alien invasions, all happened because he wasn't there to stop it. And it was just such a gut-wrenching, emotional episode of, you know, how one person who doesn't think that they're anything special can actually make the biggest difference. And it resonated so much to me.
Okay, let's wrap it up. So we'll start with Jill. What is it about Doctor Who that's so special to you? Why have you stuck with it and watched it all these years?
I love Doctor Who because it's constantly about the relationships between people. And by people, that can be aliens or it can be fellow humans, but it really gets to the heart of the differences we all have and why they make us great. And that even though we are different, we can come together and help each other and make a huge difference on a large scale or even the smallest scale. And I love that they're always constantly dissecting what it means just to be a person, you know?
So Kelly, what about you? What makes Doctor Who so special to you?
I am really in love with the idea that anything can happen on Doctor Who. I am attracted to fiction because it can take you anywhere from the comfort of your couch. And Doctor Who can literally take you anywhere and you can be surprised every episode. And, you know, like no show does this better than Doctor Who. No book I've ever read can take me to the far-flung future and then to the creation of the Earth in the same episode. And it's so exciting, you know? I know what I'm going to get, but then I never know what I'm going to get. And I really love that feeling.
Well, Jill, thank you so much for being here. It was great talking to you and loved having your expert knowledge on Doctor Who on this week's episode.
Oh, thank you so much. And I hope everybody enjoys the new season.
Okay, listeners, your turn. We want to hear from you. Are you excited for the new Doctor? What's your favorite episode of Doctor Who? Who is your favorite Doctor of all time? And will you be tuning in for the new season on Sunday? Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod. You can also tweet at us individually. I'm at BrettMolina23. You can shame me for not watching Doctor Who enough.
I'm at Klawls, K-L-A-W-L-S.
And you can find our guest Jill at Jill Pantozzi. And of course, our missing co-host Brian Truitt at Brian Truitt. Maybe he regenerated into another Brian Truitt that looks completely different. We'll find out.
Yay.
Don't forget, you can email us too. We're at MothershipPod@USAtoday.com. That'll do it this week. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producers of The Mothership, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to The Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, how about you leave us a rating or a review, because it helps other people find the pod. And also, we will give you a shout out during an episode. It's wonderful.
We love you.
If Apple Podcasts isn't your jam, you can find us on SoundCloud or Stitcher or your favorite app that plays podcasts. We are there. Trust me. Until next Friday, happy Who Day, everyone. Nerds out.
See ya.